forecast for today: cloudy, breezy, and chilly as we wind down the work week. The high of 31. Clouds and breezy tonight. A snow shower back in the forecast. Low 26, and a few flurries throughout tomorrow. Cloudy and breezy, 32. Maybe a round of accumulating snow on Sunday, up to an inch possible. With clouds, a high of only 29 to end the weekend. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Bill Degger on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
9 minutes after 1 o'clock on your Friday afternoon, and welcome into a fresh edition of the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN. You're listening live, and you have a question of a legal nature. I know. I'm like Karnak the Magnificent. I sense this. The number to call is 634-WRJN, 634-9756. Any question. You have a legal issue. You know somebody does. You've always had a legal question that you've wondered about. 634-WRJN is the number. 634-9756. And caller, you are on the air with Attorney John Cabranes. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm sure I heard him say something about immigration.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a U.S. citizen, and I have a brother who lives in Europe. What are the legal ways for me to send papers so he could come and stay here?
Well, it depends on what you want him to do. Do you want him to become a resident?
Well, he wants to live here, yes, but okay. I don't know.
So you need to petition for him as a resident. That's what's called an F-4 visa. Okay, and an F-4 visa is a visa between brothers and sisters. So what you need to do, it's actually a fairly straightforward process. What you need to do is you need to submit an application, and that's usually found in Form I-130, and then you submit supporting documents with Form I-130, which would include, birth certificates from both of you showing that you have common parents. You would also...
I'm sorry to interrupt. We have the same dad, but not the same mom.
Okay.
Does that have anything to do with it?
It's a little bit more involved when you're dealing with a dad and not a mom, but it's it's absolutely doable. Okay. I mean, we've filed many F-4 petitions with the dad as the common link between people. So Don't get discouraged when I say that it's a little bit more complicated, because it is a little more complicated.
Why is it a little more complicated for the dad versus the mom?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that.
Because, what they want when it's the dad, they want to see that you were married to the mom, okay? And they want, and there's a lineage issue. I mean, there's no issue at all if the birth certificate says it's the same mother. But the government, for some reason, takes a different view on when it's dad and different women.
And different if they were married or not?
And it's different if they were married or not.
Interesting.
Because under the law, you are presumed to be the child of a marriage. So if your parents were married, there's no issue with that, because he's the presumed father. If dad wasn't married to your mother, then... the question pops up, and it becomes even more complicated.
Dad was married to both. I mean, not at the same time, but I'm saying.
Yeah, it's actually pretty straightforward. We just need the documents, birth certificates.
And how many years does it take? About.
Well, the F-4 depends on where you're coming from.
Italy, you said?
Okay.
From Italy, yeah. I pronounce it like the American people do, but it's not Italy.
Are you a good Italian cook?
Yes,
Well,
very much, yes.
Do you have something to write with, caller?
Sorry?
Do you have something to write with?
No, I'm driving right now. This is the first time I turned this, I just turned, because I usually listen to WIS WRJN, and I just happened to turn it on right now.
It was perfect timing. Well, here's what I will tell you, okay. Is that after the show, this program will be on the website, WRJN.com. And on the website, right by the listing of the archived Cabranes Law Hour, will be the phone number of the office to call, and you make an appointment, and then and what I was going to say is your first appointment with the Cabranes Law Office is complimentary, but and then maybe some,
I usually listen to the Voice of Italy, so I know how to get out there.
Okay, good. Well, if you're such a good cook, Attorney Cabranes might be willing to trade for like some services for some pasta or something.
My specialty is homemade pasta.
I'm a hungry fat man. Okay, I will just tell you
have
that.
Have you ever had rice balls?
I have had rice balls, risotto balls. Absolutely.
Yeah, but mine are the best. That's what I've been told.
To answer your question, what happens is that with the F-4 visa, you got to wait for a visa to become available, the visas for Italy under F-4. They're giving the visas out to people who petitioned for them on January 22 of 2004. So it's about a 13-year wait on the F-4 visa for you.
Other than getting a tourist visa, what else are his options besides the F-4?
Well, he can marry a U.S. citizen.
He's already married. I don't think it's
well, but it, a double marriage runs in your family, apparently.
Don't get me started. That's how I got into this. It's a long story anyway, but I married somebody that came from Italy just to get married. But I didn't realize it at the time, but that's what he did.
And he was married as well?
I was his first marriage. It was his first marriage, but it was a marriage of convenience for him.
I see.
And I thought I was 16. I thought we were in love. Oh my God! Everybody can hear me now. I shouldn't have.
Yeah, but you haven't given your name out, so don't worry about it.
I know. Thank God. Yeah, but my voice is very.
We know who you are. You're the one with the best rice balls in town.
Right. That's it. But it's true. A lot of people used to do that back in the days.
They still do.
Like in the 70s,
they still do. Yeah, they still do.
They probably still do.
You listen to Mario on Sundays, The Voice of Italy.
I could say something more, but then they recognize who I am.
Here's what I'm going to suggest you do.
I'm part of that program.
Great. Here's what.
That's all I'm going to say.
Here's what I'm going to suggest you do. Give us a call, 262-638-0529. Set an appointment. Come in and see us.
Okay.
And then all these the initial appointment is absolutely free. You won't pay us a dime. We'll sit down. We'll sort of give you. We'll talk to you a little bit. Get some more details from you, and we'll give you. We'll lay your options out for you.
Okay. Thank you. And your name or what was the last name again? I didn't even
John Cabranes. C-A-B.
Oh, Cabranes. So are you Italian too?
I am Puerto Rican.
Oh, it sounds like Italian. Okay.
It could be Italian. Puerto Rican, Italian. It's pretty much the same.
I sure hope nobody recognizes my voice, I swear.
Well, just make sure. We'll keep it private.
It's not private right now.
Well, no, I'm saying in the future, all encounters with Attorney Cabranes is private as long as you bring some rice balls in. You just got to bring some rice balls in. Rice balls.
Yeah, I felt like I was one-on-one for some reason. I'm sorry.
I would have stopped you if you said something that you shouldn't have said. Don't worry about it.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.
Now that number is available for you at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. We even take calls at the Cabranes Law Hour at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. We even take calls for people that do not make good rice balls.
That's true. That's true.
That rhymes.
What?
Rice balls and calls.
Calls, that's right. Call for your rice ball.
How are you?
I am living la vida loca.
We're off to a very quick start. See what happens? Last week we got no called, and this week before we could even get a word out of our mouths, hardly.
I know.
It's a beautiful thing. 634-WRJ on 634-9756 is the number to call. It's 18 minutes after 1 o'clock. It means you're listening live, and you have a legal question for Attorney Jack Cabranes. It could be a question that's something you're dealing with, like our rice ball lady. It could be something... that you've just been wondering about the law. It could be something that maybe a loved one or a friend or somebody that is an enemy is dealing with, and you want to know a legal answer to a legal question. Jack Cabranes is the one to talk to. 634-9756, 634-WRJN. So there we go.
Yeah. I'll tell you, and you know, keep staying on the immigration topic. I got buzzed earlier today and with a message that ICE is starting to pick people up in Milwaukee.
Explain what ICE is.
ICE is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That's the deportation arm of the government. So they grab you, and what they do is, depending on your situation, you either have a previous deportation order and then they deport you, or if you don't have a previous deportation order, they start proceedings, and then you wind up in immigration court. But I see we got a call.
We do, at 634-WRJN. Caller, you are on the air with attorney Jack Cabranes.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a question about a will. My mother passed away 3 years ago.
I'm sorry.
With not much left over, but property down in Florida, where my sister lives down there. We're up here, up north, the rest of us.
Which begs the question why, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Where in Florida?
The house was left to all of us. With the condition that my sister lived there as long as she chose to. I understand now that she has moved out. She had been collecting rent on the property for the last 2.5 years because there's a trailer also on the property that she collected rent from. And now she moved in her daughter. She doesn't no longer live there, but she let her daughter and her son-in-law move in with their children, unbeknownst to any of us, until just recently, about a month ago. I'm not happy with that situation. I wanted to know what I can do about it.
Where in Florida?
Ocala.
Ocala, yeah. I used to live in Tampa.
Ocala
is crummy anyway. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
no.
That's why I don't want to live down there.
All right. So let me get this straight. This was allowed for your sister in your mother's will, as long as she would live there. Was it specifically stated in her will that only if she lived in there?
Correct. And then we could sell the property.
Okay,
but as long as she wasn't living there anymore.
But now she's not living there, but her daughter is. Is that what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Your niece.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what does she do, Attorney Jack Cabranes?
Well, if this was Wisconsin, I could give you a really good answer. But it's Florida, and I'm not sure that the laws in Florida are similar to the laws in Wisconsin. So I can tell you how you could handle it in Wisconsin, and I would suspect that the laws in Florida are fairly similar, but there may be some wrinkles that, you know, that I would not be aware of because I don't have a license to practice in Florida. But in Wisconsin, you can ask for what's called a partition by sale. Okay, that's basically you can force the court to order the sale of the property, and then you have a distribution of the property essentially between all of the heirs of your mother. So, you know, the big problem with the way your mother sort of laid this out is that usually, and I've seen this in a couple of situations, when there's a property and there's no clear ownership of that property, usually the siblings wind up going at each other. Sooner or later, they wind up going at each other, and it sounds like this is what you're going down that path now, because
that's what I want to avoid.
Well, I don't know that you're going to be able to avoid it unless your sister is going to be reasonable, because what I would advise you to do before you start getting lawyers involved and before you start spending a lot of money needlessly, because I mean, what are we talking about? How much is a trailer worth?
The whole property together, it's a home and a trailer, in 3/4 of an acre, probably about, I imagine in this market down there, maybe 40,000.
Okay. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
There are five of us living.
Okay. So you're talking about $8,000 a piece is what you guys would get for this if you get $40,000. You know, honestly, you know, if this degenerates into a legal brawl, you're going to wind up spending probably half of the value of that property in just legal fees. So the what I would do is I would just ask your sister to put it up for sale and see how she reacts to that. If she digs in her heels and says, oh, I'm not selling it, Mom left it to me and I'm not selling it, then you're going to have to make a decision whether it's worth the effort and the fees that you're going to wind up having to pay to ask a court to order a partition by sale. And all that is the court orders a sale and there's a sale. You know, what the other thing that you have to be aware is that if you allow her to continue to call the shots on that house, even after she has moved out, there are adverse possession laws in this country. In Wisconsin, for example, if you have essentially, I claim a piece of property from my neighbor. Let's say I fence in a piece of property that's not mine. You know, and I have what's called open and notorious possession of that property. What winds up happening is, after 20 years in Wisconsin, it becomes my property. It's mine now.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, you have to move on this because, you know, adverse possession laws may be different in Florida, but every state has laws regarding adverse possession, and I would imagine that every state has different time frames under which the transfer takes place. So, I wouldn't put this on the back burner because you may come to find if you put this on the back burner and you don't move, and let's say 10 years have passed. Let's say the state of Florida has a 10-year statute on adverse possession. Well, guess what? Now it's your sister's, and now you get shut up.
How recently have you had the property appraised?
I haven't. I'm just going on a guesstimate, going through the real estate properties down in Ocala on the website. So that's what I'm just going by, and just double-checking to make sure she hasn't put it up under some quirky law that she, you know, living there.
How?
You know, so I check on it all the time. And, you know, because the fact is that when my mom passed away, I got nothing from her estate, nothing, not a piece of jewelry I gave my mother, not a card, a couple of old dolls she sent me from Florida that were rags. I was like, are you kidding me?
What?
And now this is going on with the house.
What condition is the house in?
I haven't been down there in 6.5 years. And it was really good. It was when my mom lived there. It's a small ranch. It's a 2-bedroom ranch, single, you know, it's a ranch.
And is it in a neighborhood?
Yeah, it's just outside of Ocala. I can't think of the little suburb that she lives in. There were a lot of farms around.
Well,
here.
I'll tell you this, because I'm from the area, relatively speaking. Ocala is north of Tampa, but my first wife is a real estate broker there still. And on 3/4 of an acre, if the house is in good condition, if it's in a relatively decent neighborhood, and you have a trailer on it, although the trailer probably is not worth that much, it may be worth more than you think. And so, all you got to do is call a real estate agent down there, and they'll appraise it for you for free.
Yeah, it's called a drive-by appraisal, by the way. They can just drive. No, I'm serious. It's a drive-by appraisal, and what they'll do is they'll take the comps, and they'll try to figure out based on the outside, without going inside and checking the condition on the inside. They'll give you a rough idea of what the comps in the neighborhood are. We use drive-by appraisals in a lot of cases when we have a dispute in family law. And before we go out and hire an appraiser to go in and do the nuts and bolts and tell us what their opinion is, you know, we want to get a sense for whether it's worth spending the money. So we sometimes, you know, have an appraiser do a drive-by appraisal, and we get a sense for what the house is worth, and, you know, we know what the mortgage is, and then, you know, the difference is tells us whether or not how much we need to fight over that house. But, you know, the other thing you need to consider, is, you know, the property taxes being paid on it, you know, what kind of other liens may be on the property, you know, because all of those things will affect your ownership of that property. If they're not paying their property taxes, you know, how old is your niece who's living in there now?
She's 29, so, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and that was my concern, that maybe my sister is letting the property taxes lapse, and then she's going to pick it up and buy it for the property taxes. I mean, she's done everything else underhanded. Why would she not pull this?
Yeah, I would. Here's what I would do. I would talk to a lawyer down in Florida. Some may give you free consultations. The Florida Bar Association probably maintains a list of a referral list of lawyers, real estate lawyers down there, and you can just sort of go through, you know, your concerns with them, and have the lawyer tell you, you know, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do, you know, and then get a sense for what it's going to cost you to do battle. Honestly, it shouldn't cost you an arm and a leg to just go to court and say, "Judge, I want this property sold. I want you to order it sold. The conditions that are in the will are no longer being met. She doesn't live in the property anymore. So therefore, the ownership then reverts to the rest of us, or the ownership never was in her in her hands anyway. But
correct.
But she had the right to live in that property, which kind of limited your rights in a way. But now that she's mm-hmm. out, your rights are every bit as strong as her rights. And you have every right to go in and ask a court to do a partition by sale. And what she would have to do is, and she would have the choice of either buying you guys your interest out or selling the house and taking her share of the money.
Great. That's exactly what. That's perfect, because I would have never thought about that. Thank you for all that information.
Well, thank you.
Hopefully,
very much.
I'm going to be able to retain it, and I'll call my younger brother down in Southern Illinois and let him, because he's actually the executor. And I am older, but I my mom chose the boys to be executors in confession of her will. And he's done nothing, so I'm kind of like standing here with the ball in my court now, because nobody else is doing anything.
Well, you've got some more information now, and you can call the Cabranes Law Office in Racine if you need some further direction as well. The number there is 262-638-0529. The first consultation is free. 262-638-0529. Thanks a lot for the call, and have a wonderful weekend. It is 28 minutes until 2 o'clock. There's a reason that the Cabranes Law Office includes family law, because sometimes families have issues.
Well, you know, family.
Well, hold on. I had you down because you were coughing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Family law, you know, when I first started, I started in criminal law.
Which you still do.
Which I still do. In fact, I've got the next 2 weeks. I have two felony trials that I'll be dealing with. So, you know, I'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed both of these next two Fridays. But you know, it sort of family law crept into the picture, because a lot of the criminal issues were the result of family interactions, and so. My clients would ask me to help them with a divorce and things like that. So we got involved in family law. And then, because I speak Spanish and a lot of my clients are Spanish-speaking, you know, they would come to me with not only their criminal and family issues, but suddenly those criminal and family issues would morph into immigration issues. And so, you know, we started doing immigration law, and we've been doing that for quite a while now. So, you know.
And then because of the stress of the criminal defense issues and the family legal issues, which morphs into immigration issues, then people drink too much. And then they get in their cars and drive unwisely, and then they get OWIs, and they can call you for that, too.
They can call us for that, too. And, in fact, 'tis the season of OWIs, because it seems like every other person coming in through the door so far this month is bringing an OWI with them. And, you know, we've been doing OWIs for a long time, and we think we know how to handle those. You know, those are pretty much by the book. You're looking for reasonable suspicion. Why'd they stop you? Why'd they come in contact with you? You're looking for probable cause for an arrest. Did you fail the field sobriety tests? What was going on there? You're looking for if you refused to blow into the machine, or you refused to give blood, did they, especially with the blood, did they get a search warrant? Because that's a fairly recent development in OWIs.
They need a search warrant?
They do. A few years ago, about 3-4 years ago now, there's a case out of Missouri called McNeely versus Missouri. And the Supreme Court basically said, nope, you, unless there are exigent circumstances, you need to get a search warrant. So what usually happens now is that, I know Kenosha, what they do is that they will send somebody to a judge to have them sign the search warrant, and then they will scan it and send it to the hospital where the officer is, and so, you know, and then they'll file the original with the court later. Racine does it a little bit differently. You know, we just got a case kicked in Racine, an OWI case kicked in Racine, because the sheriff's department did not, in fact, get a their search warrant before they drew the guy's blood.
Boy, you're really smart. You know a lot about the law. Have you ever thought into going into the legal practice?
Well, you know.
He is Attorney John Cabranes. It is the Cabranes Law Hour. You can give the attorneys a call right now, because operators are standing by at the office in Racine at 638-0529. That is the Cabranes Law Offices, 638-0529. The number here at the radio station to talk right now. I mean, look at how, and listen how the callers have been helped thus far on the Cabranes Law Hour. The number to call, 634-WRJN, 634-9756. We will be taking your calls after we get this news update from the great Tom Carco on Your Radio Friend.
It's here and it's new, the 2017 Real Racine Activities Guide. The new guide has info.
WRJN AccuWeather forecast for today: cloudy, breezy, and chilly as we wind down the work week. The high of 31. Clouds and breezy tonight. A snow shower back in the forecast. Low 26, and a few flurries throughout tomorrow. Cloudy and breezy, 32. Could be a round of accumulating snow on Sunday, up to an inch possible. With clouds, a high of only 29 to end the weekend. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Bill Degger on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
The Cabranes Law Hour is coincidentally brought to you by the Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time or the information during the show to fully review your particular legal issue, so be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, make no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular issue. It is 19 minutes until 2 o'clock. It is Friday. It is the Cabranes Law Hour. You're listening live. You've got a question for Attorney Jack Cabranes. The number to call is 634-WRJN, 634-9756. Any question of any legal nature at all. We've had callers call in today that have had specific questions for their lives, Maybe you've got a question about a friend or a family member or an enemy. Or you just got a legal question. You saw something on TV you wonder about Jack Cabranes' opinion on. 634-WRJN, 634-9756. We have a line open for you right now. You can get in with Attorney Jack Cabranes immediamente. A little Spanish there for you.
That wasn't Spanish, but that's okay.
What was it?
I don't have any idea what that was, but that wasn't anything I recognized in Spanish.
How do you say immediately in Spanish?
Inmediatamente.
That wasn't even close what I said.
That's not even close to what you said.
Immediamente.
Inmediatamente.
Yeah, whatever. But the point is immediately you can talk to this guy. So before the great Tom Carco, or actually during the great Tom Carco's newscast, he had a report that somebody had been given 90 days in jail for an ordinance violation.
No, that there was an ordinance violation that where the fine was $400 and up to 90 days in jail. Not possible.
And why not?
Because civil ordinance violations are just that, civil offenses. They can fine you, and if you don't pay the fine, they can throw you in jail as a contempt of court for not paying the fine. But once you start talking about jail, you're talking about criminal penalties, and that has to go. That's not a civil ordinance violation. That is an actual criminal offense. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the actual charge would be, but it's not an ordinance violation. So whoever talked to Tom and gave him that information, gave him bad information.
Well, if they were in contempt of court for not paying the $400 fine, how long could they be thrown in jail for?
Well, you know, the contempt of court, by law, I believe, you can only do up to 6 months in jail on some types of contempt. In Racine County, and in Kenosha County, for that matter, sometimes what the judge will say is, I'm gonna fine you $200 plus court costs. That's gonna be $500 and some odd. And it used to be that they would say, and I don't honestly know, because I send Jordan and Shanaz in now to do the civil stuff. But they used to say, one day in jail for every $25 owed, something along those lines. So, and the thing is that you think, oh well, you know, if I don't pay it, I just go to jail and just pay it by, you know, sitting on my dead behind and play cards and watch TV. But the problem is, of course, you go to jail and you still owe the money.
Oh, really?
You bet.
All right. So the 90-day contempt of court, it could be 90 days for contempt of court, but they would still owe the $400.
Yeah. There are certain crimes. For example, disorderly conduct is a B misdemeanor. Disorderly conduct has a maximum penalty of $1,000 fine and up to 90 days in jail. And that's not an ordinance violation. That's a crime because you're exposed to jail. There are misdemeanors, for example, possession of drug paraphernalia that have a maximum penalty of 30 days in jail and I think $500 in fines. That's, again, still a crime. So and if it's going to send you to jail, if it has jail within the penalty structure of the crime, it's not an ordinance violation.
He's Jack Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Offices. He's really smart. And you can give him a call right now at 634-WRJN and ask him any question you want. 634-9756 will put you in touch with the founder and the lead attorney at the Cabranes Law Offices in Racine. You can call the attorneys there at 262-638-0529 to make your first complimentary appointment. 262-638-0529 for the Cabranes Law Offices. 634-WRJN, 634-9756 for the studio line right now to talk to Attorney Cabranes. So in the first half of this quality broadcast, you mentioned almost in passing that ICE is starting to pick up people in Milwaukee. Again, please explain to the folks what ICE stands for.
ICE is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They're kind of like the cops of immigration.
And obviously you guys deal with immigration law. The president has said that they're going to enforce the deportation laws now, as opposed to some of which the previous administration ignored. And so you have people who are in our community that are freaked out right now. Who are they picking up, that to your knowledge, and who needs to be concerned?
Well, you know, here's the thing. There is a program, and has been a program for some time, called the Secure Communities Program. And the Secure Communities Program, theoretically, says that if you've committed a violent crime, if you're a violent criminal, that you get picked up and deported. And usually when we're talking about violent criminal, we're talking about things like crimes of domestic violence. We could be talking about drug crimes as well. You know, those kind of things, obviously the armed robberies, the rapes, the, you know, murders and things like that. You know, and I don't think that you'll get much of a disagreement from anybody, including me, that, you know, people who come to this country, legally or illegally, should behave themselves. And if you don't behave themselves, if you don't behave yourself, then, you know, we've got ways of dealing with you. You know, so those are the people that the Secured Communities program was intended to deal with. The problem is, like with all programs that the government comes up with, there's creep into it. And so what happens is that over the years, they started picking up people that are nonviolent offenders. So people who drive a motor vehicle without a driver's license, you know, other non-violent and really petty offenses start to fall into that rubric of, you know, criminal alien, and then they start to get deported. You know, I'll tell you, in my experience, 99% of the people that I've represented are good, decent, hardworking people. They come to this country. They come to this country just like our forefathers did. My grandfather, you know, came to this country and looking for an opportunity where there are no opportunities in their country. And most of them come here and they want to raise a family. They want to basically take care of their family back home. There's no difference. Absolutely no difference between them and us. You know, for the most part, I am in favor, and I don't say this because I'm an immigration attorney. I am in favor of some type of comprehensive immigration reform to take care of these people. You know, but the problem is so big. You know, I had kind of mixed feelings about this stupid wall. Okay, that everybody's talking about. And the reason I have mixed feelings about it is because a wall isn't going to work. Okay, you know, the famous line that comes to mind every time I hear about this wall is George Patton's famous saying that fixed fortifications are a monument to the stupidity of man. Okay, and if you look at certain parts of the country, say around San Diego and things like that, where they tunnel from one side of the border to the other, a wall isn't going to really do much of anything to help stop that. On the other hand, I think it's a message to the powers that be in Mexico because, you know, that country is so screwed up politically, okay, that their safety valve to prevent a complete collapse and a revolution in that country, their safety valve is that they just let their people come into the United States, and they don't care. Okay, why? Because, you know, think about.
And they let the drugs come into the United States, and they don't care because it helps the Mexican economy. It helps keep the people satisfied because they're making some money. The people that are involved in that, whether they be the actual drug lords or the people that work for them, or the mules, or whoever. And it brings income into Mexico.
Yeah, but you know what? I will tell you that, you know, the that income is top heavy income. The local guy,
as most is.
As most is. But the local guy, the guy on the street, isn't seeing for the most part the benefits of that of that drug trade. And not that I would consider anything to be a benefit, but you know, we're talking about billions of dollars. I sound like Carl Sagan now. Billions and billions of dollars that go to these drug dealers. And they're not going to better the communities. They're not going to improve roads. They're not going to create jobs.
Of course. All right, hold on for a second. Israel built a wall to keep the suicide bombers out in the Palestinian side of the world. Mm-hmm. It worked.
Well, it's partially worked because the crazies are still there.
It's worked significantly. They had a suicide bomber problem in Israel until they walled off the Palestinians from being able to get into Israel in any other ways except a few checkpoints. If you have a wall and you have people tunneling underneath or trying to. By the way, Pat was talking about armies, not individuals. That's number one. Number two, so okay, you've got a way to monitor where those tunnels are, and you have people waiting on the other side of the tunnel.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. I mean, about what the border looks like. You know, down by Texas, when you get the Rio Grande, you know, that's a far more difficult barrier to pass. If you put a wall there, you're not going to tunnel under the Rio Grande. At least it's going to be very difficult, I think, to do it. But if you look at the border along New Mexico, Arizona, California, there are no natural water barriers. What you've got is rough terrain. Okay, and on the other side of a lot of these border towns, by the way, you have, and I've been to a couple of these border towns, where literally there is a thin steel wall that separates one from the other, and the houses start maybe 50 feet, 100 feet from that wall, it's not. I got to tell you, I don't think any wall that you build is going to be impenetrable.
All right, so let's leave that alone. Here's the question I have. I would love, as I do, getting your opinion.
And I am an opinionated person, so I love giving it.
Exactly. So, the immigration problem, you mentioned Mexico's culpability with it. However, the problem ongoing in this country since before Ronald Reagan is our responsibility. It's our fault that we haven't figured this out yet. Why, for a problem that the United States could have solved, we have control over our borders, doing what we want to do, why should Mexico pay for that wall?
Why shouldn't?
Why should they? What is the rationale in this man's head, other than it was a very good one-liner in the campaign? It definitely ginned up some, you know, jingo, Americana first, that type of deal. Other than that, what could possibly be the rationale that Mexico should pay for the border?
Well, I could give you a rationale, but the truth of the matter is that we're going to pay for this wall. We're going to pay for it one way or the other. You know, they're floating this whole idea of having a tariff on imports.
Well, but what if we let's say, I don't know what the exact number is, but I've heard $54 billion in foreign aid that we give to Mexico. $54 billion. So let's say the wall costs $14 billion. The next year we'd give them $40 billion. Boom, they just paid for it.
Yeah, well, you know, I have my own opinions on a lot of foreign aid, but especially foreign aids to certain countries. But
all foreign aid is bad except the ones that go to Israel.
You know, here's the problem. We give foreign aid to countries where people just line their pockets with American
money. Yeah,
it doesn't get to where it needs to go.
It's a corrupt world, ladies and gentlemen. Let me interrupt because we've got a few minutes left that you have a chance to talk to Attorney John Cabrera. So get on the phone. You want to talk to this guy. I know you do. 634-WRJN, 634-9756 at a few minutes before 2 o'clock. You have a moment. Get on the phone. We've had a lot of fun today, a lot of good information. Who is ICE picking up in Milwaukee right now?
Well, as far as I know, they picked up 16 people today, so that's just a drop in the bucket. But of those 16 people, from what I understand, some of them already have deportation orders and didn't leave, or had a deportation order and came back.
Which has happened a lot, unfortunately.
It does, but that's because the border is porous, and that's, you know, we talked our first caller today. Let me explain to you what I, and this is a far so far above my pay grade that
I don't believe that for a second.
Oh, it is. But it looks like we have a caller.
We do. Caller, we got to get you in really quick with Attorney John Cabranes. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have an immigration question.
Okay.
My wife is from the Philippines. Her father's here legally. We petitioned him. He petitions his son. It's like a 15-year wait.
Yeah, the Philippines are a longer wait, yes.
Yes, so we're waiting 15 years. In the meantime, her father passes away. 2 years later, his number comes up. We put in for a substitute petitioner. They deny it.
Okay.
We put in for hardship because the only two people left in their family is her and her brother, who lives in the Philippines in his family. And they deny it again. A year or two later, we get a letter saying they're going to look at it again and see what's going on.
Well, that's unusual, but that's congratulations to you. I mean, you know, when you file the paperwork to substitute the petitioners, all of that is completely discretionary on USCIS, and they have certain rules that they go by. I have not heard that they go and review and reopen, because they got plenty of work, by the way. So I have not heard that they independently will decide to reopen an investigation and say, okay, maybe we were wrong the first time around. Unless, of course, did you file an appeal?
We didn't file an appeal or anything. We just said, well, that's the break. Now, this was right around election time, about 6 months before election time, we got the letter saying they're going to look at it again. Was that politically motivated and it's just a scam? Or what would it be? I mean, it was legit. It was from immigration.
You know, without looking at the document that they sent you, it's hard for me to say. But here's what I'm going to suggest you do. If you want me to actually try to give you an answer to it, give me a call at the office, 262-638-0529. Okay, I'll say it again, 638-0529. The consultation is free. Okay, not going to charge you a dime. Okay, just bring the documents in. Let's take a look at it, and then we'll figure out what's going on.
Great.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, enjoy your weekend. That number to call for your first complimentary consultation with the Cabranes Law Office in Racine, 262-638-0529. Operators are standing by as I speak. 262-638-0529. Well, a week from today, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise, we will learn who President Trump has in mind for his nominee for the Supreme Court to take over the vacant seat of Antonin Scalia.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
We'll get your take a week from today. That's what you call a good radio tease, Jack.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend WRJN.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.